Let us open our Bibles now to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, and we will start from verse 5 to 15. A farmer went out to sow his seed, and as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still others fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than what was sown. May God bless the reading from His holy word. Please be seated. Good morning once again. Are you happy that you're here? Praise the Lord. It's good to be back. It's a wonderful time to be gathered together in His house every first day of the week. Now, our theme for this year is rooted, right? And so we have this first quarter of the year, we go through the series about rootedness. And last week, we talk about the benefits of a rooted life. What are the benefits of a rooted life? And we studied from Jeremiah chapter 17. In the Bible, the life of a Christian is likened to a plant, right? Particularly a tree. And just like any other plant, it's important for the plant to be rooted, to be connected to the very source. And so it has to have the right amount of water, sunlight, and many things. Now, one important aspect of a rooted life is the soil. Even if you have a good plant, you water it, but if you have a bad soil, your plant will not grow. All right. Now, I remember a few years ago during the pandemic, I bought this plant, flowering plant. You know, I even collected all its colors. So there were 5 colors. And so I was so happy. But I noticed that the plant started to wither. So I asked other plantitas like Jandy. And she told me, Pastor Maki, check your soil. And lo and behold, there was blight. You know, it's a disease. It's a fungus that is found in the soil. And so, no matter how I tried to do something, if the soil was bad, you know, the plant will not grow. All right? Now, that's something I realized from our lesson today, that the soil is as important as the plant, as the water. It's as important as the sunlight. If you have a bad soil, your plant will not grow. Your plant will not be rooted. Remember, the goal of the Christian life is fruitfulness. Amen? That's the desire of our Lord. You know, it is to my Father's glory that you bear fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. That's what Jesus said in John 15, verse 9. We are to be fruitful, but our fruitfulness is as good as our rootedness. So our theme this year is rootedness. Why? Because I noticed that among Christians today, our Christianity is very superficial, very shallow. And no wonder a little amount of storm, a little temptation from the devil, and Christians easily fall because we are not deeply rooted. And that's why, as we study rootedness, it's important to consider one essential material, and that is the soil. And that is what we are going to study today, the soil. What kind of soil are you planted? Remember in our prayers, we always say, may you find our hearts as what? fertile ground or soil so that you can plant your word. And basically, brethren, that's the idea of the parable of the sower. Parable of the sower, okay? That's the title that we call this parable. But based on the lesson of the story, the appropriate title should be the parable of the soil. Because indeed, this parable is not about the seed. It's not even about the sower. It's about the soil. And this parable is found in the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew 13, Mark 4, 1 to 20, and Luke chapter 8. I already preached from the Gospel of Matthew a few years ago, many years ago. And so I chose Luke this time. So from the perspective of the Gospel of Luke. So we know the story. There's this sower. The sower was not even named. He was just scattering seed, and these seeds fell to four different kinds of soil. All right? The first kind of soil, the path soil. So you would just imagine a path soil, you know? It would be trodden by people, you know, carts, horses, many things. And so you would just imagine, you know, the nature of the soil. It's very tight. It's very hard. And then some fell on the rocky soil. Those of us who went through Israel, we understand that it's a very rocky terrain, right? So there's a soil, a good soil, but underneath some areas there, they have a very shallow amount of soil, and beneath is simply rocks. That's the one being described by our Lord Jesus Christ. And then there's the thorny soil, right? And then finally, the good soil. Now let's go to the meaning, immediately to the meaning of this parable. What is the essence? What is the lesson of our Lord in this parable? Is Jesus teaching us here about agriculture? Is Jesus teaching us here how to become a good plantito and plantita? All right? I don't call myself already as a plantito. I'm already a plant daddy. So many plants. I collect plants. All right? So what's the meaning? We don't have, in this particular parable, we don't have the hard time to interpret because our Lord already interpreted the parable. All right? So this is a very special parable because Jesus himself explained it to his disciples. So the meaning, Jesus said in verse 11, and this is the meaning of the parable. All right? The seed. What is the seed? It refers to the Word of God. And indeed, brethren, in the Bible, the seed has been used as a symbol of the Word of God. You will also find that in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. Okay, mark the reference. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, where Peter said that we have been born again according to the what? To the seed that is the Word of God. So God uses a particular instrument that brings about the regeneration of a sinner, and it is the Word of God. And that means, brethren, no one gets born again apart from hearing His Word. Remember Romans chapter 10, verse 17? Faith comes where? Faith comes from hearing. So if we declare sola fide, solely by faith alone, if salvation is by faith alone, not by works, then how is that faith generated? It is through the hearing of God's word. And that is what this particular parable is all about. It's not about the seed. It's not about the sower. It is all about the soil. The soil here symbolizes the hearts. All right? So this parable is really, Jesus is teaching how do people get saved and how do they become fruitful in their spiritual life? And there's only one particular answer. It is hearing. How you are receiving the word will determine the result of the word in a person's life. So technically, in this parable, the seed is the word of God. the kind of soils, these are actually four kinds of human hearts. So Jesus is talking about four different ways people receive the Word of God in their lives. And it is our goal this morning, brethren, that we check our hearts. Where do I belong? What kind of a soil do I have? So remember, the soils here represents the hearts of men. And the basic truth of this parable is this: the result of hearing the gospel always depends on the condition of the heart. You see, we preach the same gospel every Sunday, but how come people have different reactions to it? Some people go home so blessed. Some people go home the same. In fact, some people go home irritated, disgusted by the message. Why is it? They're receiving the same message, but they go home differently. Why? That's what this parable is all about. See, the result of hearing the gospel always depends on the condition of the heart. Our rootedness depends on the condition of our soil. So here, brethren, let's study the four kinds of hearts according to our Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to see yourself. Which heart do you think you belong? All right, let's begin with the first one. I call this the closed heart. Very close, right? Notice the explanation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 11. Those along the path are the ones who hear. All right? So take note, all these people, all these four people that Jesus is talking about, he's talking about the four different people in the world. All right? Confronted with the gospel message. So this one hears, yes, he receives the word. But then notice the next thing that happens. And then the devil comes and takes away the word. The devil comes. Now, by the way, once in a while, I'll be going to the other parallel passages to see some nuances, all right? Now, in the Gospel of Mark, it says there when they hear, Satan immediately comes. Mark added that word immediately. In other words, brethren, we have to understand the implication. Satan is very punctual when it comes to his work. Ouch. He's so punctual. You know, when Satan works, he really works. And the Bible says, whenever the word of God is being preached, the Bible says Satan immediately comes. So we need to understand, brethren, every time there's a preaching of God's word, there is demonic activity going on. It's a spiritual warfare. See? And that's why we cannot afford ourselves to be casual, to be just sleeping and being distracted. You know why? Because that's where Satan immediately comes. He's very punctual. And what is the work of Satan? His main work is to take away the word. His work is to snatch the word. See? You see, the devil is a good theologian. He knows theology, by the way. If you remember one time when Jesus Christ was in the wilderness after his baptism, the devil came and tested him. Notice that the testing of the devil was biblical. He was quoting scripture. And you know what? Sometimes it's very embarrassing that demons have more verses to quote than Christians have. So embarrassing that whenever we have some games and, you know, everyone is asked to give a verse, everyone wants to be the first one. Why? Because everyone wants to say 1 John 3:16. And that's why, remember, I told you that's one of the signs that, you know what, this year, our theme should be rooted. Because it's so embarrassing to the Lord that we call ourselves Christians for many years and we are not rooted in His Word. So, when the devil comes, what will he do? Notice what the Bible says. He comes and takes away the Word. See, the devil knew. He knew his theology. He knew that when the gospel is preached, the gospel will always produce salvation. The gospel will always produce being born again. And so the devil hates it when someone got saved. And so his work, whenever there's a preaching of the gospel, he comes immediately. And so, brethren, we have to guard ourselves. How Satan takes away the word. Now listen, there are three. There are so many, but I think there are three. Number one, inattention. See, Satan works overtime to keep people from giving serious attention to the Word of God. So he may keep you up late on a Saturday. He gives you activities on a Saturday so that by Sunday you are sleepy. See, the devil can give you a lot of good times on a Saturday night. That's why I always warn people, if you truly love the Lord, make sure that you sleep early on a Saturday. You know why? Because if you really love the Lord, Saturday, Sunday meeting is such an important thing. You cannot be inattentive to God's Word on a Sunday. See? And so, if you come on a Sunday and you're sleepy, you're drowsy, no matter what kind of excuse you give, and it is inexcusable because you know, if it's a Sunday, I have to prepare myself Saturday. Inattention. See? Next, ill will. What is that? What is this ill will? Ill will is when the message is being preached, and then suddenly the pastor quotes about verses and it talks about sin and it hits you, and then you become personal. You get offended. When the pastor talks about social issues and your rights as being something like that. Ill will. See? It hits you and then suddenly your mind don't listen anymore. Why? Because you hate now the pastor. Nangigo. See? Nangigo si pastor. And so everything, the Word of God, the devil is now blinding you. Why? Because your heart is already having ill will. And by the way, let me go back to inattention. Sometimes it's not about Saturday night. That's why, listen, those of you in the multimedia, everyone here, listen. You know, our chairman, Jay Yuvalius, before always made this point. The Word of God is the most important thing in the worship. If there is any problem with the microphone, with the sound system that affects the reception of God's Word towards people, it is a grave sin for the church. Why? Because we allow ourselves to be instruments of the devil. Remember, what is the goal of the devil? For people not to hear. And so if there's something wrong with the sound system, there's something wrong with the slides because it's not working, it's the devil's work. That's why dare not be used by the devil. That's why I always remind the multimedia people, please pray. Because every worship service is a spiritual warfare. Satan don't want his words to be clearly heard by people around the world. And so he makes sure that the internet is not working. He makes sure, that's why as Christians, we have to prepare ourselves. Because usually we say, the internet is bad, so we better do something about internet. We need to get all the internet connection. If Globe will fail, there should be PLDT. If PLDT will fail, there should be, what's this new one? D2. In other words, we will spend. Why? Because we don't want Satan to interfere. Why do we have Sunday school? Because one way Satan can use is when children cry, when children misbehave, and then suddenly we turn, then the word has been snatched. See? That's why it's very important that when we come to the word, we protect ourselves. because Satan comes. Now, ignorance. What is this? Ignorance. The work of Satan can be so thorough that his servants can actually lose their capacity to grasp what is being said well enough, even what? Even to the point of not going to the scripture. In other words, ignorance here is like you don't give the right respect to the word, so that even if the Bible is there, you don't want to read it. See? You don't want to read it. Everyone wants just convenience. That's why we prefer more jokes in a sermon, more anecdotes, more stories. Friends, stories, no matter how dramatic, no matter how you could cry, I tell you, stories don't have power to change. Jokes don't have power to change. It is only the Logos. It's the Word of God. That's why we require everyone to bring the Bible. And not only that, we put the verses here because we make sure that Satan don't snatch the Word. Now, what is at stake? Friends, this is very serious. What is at stake when one has inattention, ill will, or ignorance because Satan takes away the word? What is at stake? You know what is at stake? Salvation. This is what Jesus said. And then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts. Notice the purpose. So that they may not believe and be saved. This is how crucial the preaching of God's word is. Amen? This is why we make sure that everyone hears clearly. Why? Because the goal of Satan is that people will not be able to believe. Why? Because he knew that when people do not believe, people don't get saved. And if people don't get saved, who gets the points? Satan. See? That's why it's important, brethren. We have to be rooted. Why? We have to preach the gospel clearly. Why? Because it's the way to be saved. What is at stake here is our salvation. And what follows salvation later on? Fruitfulness. Of course, if you are not saved, then you cannot be fruitful spiritually. See? But it all starts with the basic. When people don't get to hear the word, they don't get saved. And I know, and you know, that there are so many people who claim to be Christian, but not born again, not saved. They're just Christian because they join a church. See? They're just Christians because they join a Bible study group. How do you know you're a Christian? Rootedness. You grow roots, all right? Now, can you please correct the verse? It's 2 Corinthians 4:4. You know, maybe I have not removed the Luke 8. It's 2 Corinthians 4:4. And this is what St. Paul tells us about the devil. The God of this age has what? Blinded the minds of unbelievers. You see that? He has the power to blind people's minds so that they cannot see the light of what? The reason why Satan blinds people with all sorts of what? False teachings. And Satan can use all those things. Inattentiveness, ill will. He can use even the prejudices of people to blind them. See? And what's the reason why he wants to blind people? Because the devil doesn't want them to see what? The light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ. Friends, the gospel, the good news, the word of God, it is a display of the glory of Christ. And so Satan wants that glory to be veiled. That's why he kind of used all sorts of things, all nice things, so that on Sunday, you don't have the attention necessary to hear the word. Now, that's the closed heart. It's closed, see? The word cannot penetrate, all right? Now, let's go to the second kind of heart. Now, by the way, do you have a closed heart? Am I describing your heart? That sometimes, because of the prejudices, because of the ill feeling, you shut off your brain, your mind, and not listen anymore because just one word that the pastor mentioned, and everything is closed in your heart. All right? Are you that kind of a person? Now let's go to the casual. I call it the casual heart. Shallow. Those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no roots. So what's the difference? The first kind of heart, there was no joy because the heart was closed. See? How can you be joyful when you're sleepy? Okay? And then suddenly, ma-awake lang ka, kay nangatawa man sila. Katawa. Masay gisulti ni pastor. Okay? But this one is just different. You receive the word with joy. So there is joy. All right? And it's true. When the preaching of the word is very clear, it gives joy to people. People will cry. People will laugh. People will have the emotion. But friends, there is a danger to that. Because some people think that because they were happy, they cried when the pastor preached. Some people equate it to salvation. You know, maybe I got saved because I cried during your message, Pastor. Well, when you watch a Sharon Cuneta film, you also cry. Does that mean you got saved? Because you... See? It's never taught in the scripture that emotion is the basis of salvation. See? It's not also true that when you are not joyful, that you are not saved. See? It doesn't say that your emotion... It says here, they receive the word with joy. See? Some people think that, you know, I think I'm a Christian because when we start singing those hymns, you know, it makes me cry, it makes me happy. Again, emotion is not a factor, a determining factor, you are saved or not. You go back, it's rootedness. You know why these people, they are not yet saved? Notice this, they receive the word with joy when they hear it, but notice, no roots. See? It's just like, have you been, okay, how many of us, those of us who love plants, na-scam, you know? Inglabay ka sa mall, nice kayang flower, nice kayang plant, wow, palito ni mo, no? Sa dalas balay. O niya, after a few days, namatay niya, pagtanaw ni mo, uy, gitugsok, rade, ay. No roots. See? So be careful with looks. It looks alive. It looks nice. You have to check. Is that rooted? That's why, mangutana, gyuko karon. Unsa man ning a plant? Mangutana, kung when you buy a plant, you say, rooted na nedi pa. And then they will say, dili pa, sir. And then don't buy. See? Because rootedness, of course, we know, those of us who are familiar with plant, we know that when it's already rooting, that means it's alive. Friends, here it says, they have no roots. So there are Christians today who are very casual in their Christianity. They cry, they clap, they join, you know? But the Bible says they have no roots. Notice this. They believe for a while. So you say, you might say theologically, so they believe, Pastor, so they got saved because we believe in one saved, always saved. Oh, no, 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 no. Believing is not a one-time thing. You have to understand that. We believe in the P of tulip. What is the P of tulip? Tulip. We remember Bradford Church. We are a Reformed church. We believe in the tulip. What's the P? Perseverance of the saints. In other words, when you are truly born again, when you are truly saved, you don't just believe for a while. You believe till the end of your life. See? But here, if you ask, Pastor, are these seeds growing in the rocky soil? Are they saved? No. In fact, just to tell you in advance, in all these four kinds of people, only one kind is saved. The rest, they die. So not everyone who starts us right with being a Christian, you could say, he's a Christian because he was part of the choir. He was part, You know what? A lot of people are Christian historically. Yeah, historical. We say, yeah, I'm a Christian. I used to be part of the choir pastor. I used to join the Bible study. Okay, you're a used to Christian. Moraman, if you ask them, they're always talking about something history. But I ask them, but where are you now? See? Wala na. See? They believe for a while, but notice this, but in times of testing, they fall away. All right? Now, of course, it doesn't matter how you interpret it. Some people will say, probably, Pastor, they got saved and then they lose their salvation because, you know, in the Arminian view, you can lose your salvation. You know, it's okay for me. If you treat this as an Arminian, it's okay. If you're a Calvinist, it's okay. The point is this. These people are not saved. You know why? Because their believing wasn't retained. They have good beginning. We call this the intro voice. May lang yung sa intro. No? You know? Intro lang. Parabitoon ng mga tata, di ba? Kasaway mo nang, you know, we gather to ganyan. Mukhang tata, pirmir ang introduction sa song. Di yun mo man. Yeah, lain na po nga song. Maoni nga mga Christian. Okay? So-so Christian. See? They have a good beginning. But notice, in times of testing, they fall away. Now, according to Matthew, let's use Matthew's parallel. Matthew 13:21. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Now, friends, this is important. Why I call them the casual Christians? Because these are the people who are Christians when times are good. No problem, no crisis, they're Christians. But here, Jesus made it very sure. When troubles and persecutions come, take note, not because of economy, because of the word. In other words, time will come when your Christianity must be tested. You have to be tested if you are truly genuine. You see, if you call yourself Christian and everything in your life is fine, all your dreams are there, all your wants are there, how would you know if you're just a fake Christian? See? That's why troubles or persecution. Take note, two kinds. Troubles, these are trials. This comes from God. Persecution, of course, God will not persecute. This comes from the devil. So in other words, whether the pressure comes from the devil or from God, if you're a true believer, you will not fall away. But here, notice this. Because of the word. In other words, time will come, brethren, that the world, its system, its ways will always counter your beliefs. Now, that's what Jesus is talking about. When the world is when you're flowing with the world through the world, it's so easy to be Christian. But when the world starts to dictate and your Christian beliefs and your Christian principles is otherwise, then that's a junction of decision. Will you still follow your Christian conviction in the Bible? Or you go with the convenience of the world? That's what happened to these people. See? Because when the world is now shaping and transforming them because of the word, take note, because of the word, what happened? They fall away. See? And this is what happened. If you notice in John chapter 6, verse 66, okay, please turn your Bibles there. In John chapter 6, verse 6, remember when Jesus was preaching, first the sermons of Christ were just what? First they were good, they were, you know, people laugh. But you know what? We cannot always have a sermon that is always light. Pastor, kanang light lang, Pastor. Ay, lang ng pangigo, Pastor. You know, Jesus started with light sermons, people laugh, but notice what happened. Can somebody read John 6, 66? All right, from that time, many of his disciples turned their backs. You know why? If you read before that, what happened? Because the teachings of Christ were becoming deeper, becoming very personal, and the teachings of Christ are already in direct collision with their own human desires. And that's the start. Many, take note, many of his disciples turned their backs. And then he turned to Peter and the others. Ingon si Jesus, kamo, mukuyog mo nila? Nasa may tubag ni Peter. Lord, we have left everything for you. Where else do we go? You have the what? Words of life. You see that? It's the word. We have to be rooted with the word. See? It's the word. You have the words of life, Lord. See? So what happened? All those disciples have been following Christ. You know, they were coming by thousands. Remember? This happened after the feeding of the 5,000. They came to Christ by thousands. But when Jesus started to really preach the word, and it was already in direct collision to their human hearts and wills, they started to say, "Di na namo ni kaya." See? And the same thing. You know? If we always keep our words in Bradford Church light, you know what is at stake? We will be attracting so many people, but we will also be attracting false believers. Because the word is all palatable ramang kayo. See? If we don't talk about real stuff in the word of God, then we will have so many people in the pulpit thinking they're Christians because they always agree with Pastor Mackey says. Unless we start preaching the real word of God when human hearts do not agree. Which when only the Holy Spirit causes people to agree. That's where the rubber meets the road. Directly. All right? Now, please help me out here. See, this is one of Satan's works. Because of the word. Okay? Now take note, what's the reason? What's the reason why people fall away? They have no roots. That's the reason. Shallow Christianity. See? Casual Christianity. Be careful of shallow Christianity. What is a shallow Christianity? Friends, shallow Christianity is this. When people say, "I'm a Christian because I accepted Christ 5 years ago." That's all. If that's all you can say, you call yourself a Christian because you received Christ as Lord and Savior when you were 12 years old or when you attended the camp, and it's the only thing you can testify, I tell you, you're in danger of the fires of hell. If you simply say, "I'm a Christian because I accept Christ as my Lord and Savior," you know why? If you have no roots, you are not saved. See? If the only thing you can call is an event that took place. But look at your life now. Are you really serious with the word? Are you really serious in coming to church to worship? Do you really pray? Do you really, you know, do you really desire to obey his word? See, that is what it means to be saved. It's not by works. It's by faith. But faith will always produce righteousness. See, if there is no desire for righteousness in your heart, if there is no desire to please the Lord in your heart, then you belong to this kind of soil. See, you're just a Christian because you've been a member of this church for many years. Take note, without roots, notice this, they last only a short time. You know what Jesus meant that? It means they are not saved. Because soon they will die. See? Soon they will die. Brethren, I challenge you, please check your hearts. Don't be a casual Christian. Don't have a shallow spirituality. See? Some shallow, usap pa may uban nga shallow, you know, I come to church every Sunday, I give my tithes, that's all. That I'm a Christian. No. That's not an indication. Your daily devotions, your daily time with God, your daily commitment to follow and obey the will of God, that's salvation. Friends, listen. Rootedness is a sign of genuine salvation. Rootedness. How rooted you are in your relationship with Christ. How rooted you are in obedience. How rooted you are in holiness. How rooted you are in His Word. Okay? I don't believe that people will say, you know what? Having more verses, you know, is not a sign of true spirituality. And they say because they want to excuse themselves because they only knew one verse. That is wrong. You know why? Because if you truly love the Lord, listen, you really cannot separate the Lord and His Word. Remember what Jesus said? If you abide in me and my words abide in you. You see that? You cannot be a true born-again believer and you are not rooted to His Word. You cannot. Because some people would say, you know, I'm a Christian, I accepted Christ as my Lord, but then you are not rooted in His Word. You're just joking. Delusional. And it's so sad that some churches teach us that kind of theology. You know? Easy believism. Okay? Easy Christianity. You know, just accept Christ as Lord and that is your save. We don't teach that here. It starts with faith. But that faith must continue, must grow deeper as we grow old in the Lord. Amen? Now let's go to the crowded. Crowded heart. What is the crowded heart? The seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear. So there's reception. They hear the word. All right? So I would assume, same as before, they're also happy. They're so joyful. Notice that. But as they go on their way. In other words, somehow they last a little longer than the previous kind of heart. Because it says there, as they go on their way, what happened? Notice this. They do not mature. They do not mature. Now, we ask the question, why is it that these people don't mature? So I want you to take note, friends, that Jesus is talking here about the reception of His Word that leads to salvation. How do you know if a person is saved? There is maturity. All right? Not unless God takes that person from this earth immediately after he got saved. Of course, wala na maturity there is earth. But if we are still alive, what is the normal process of the Christian life? We are to grow. Amen? They do not mature. Now, you ask, why is it that there are some people who claim to be Christian, they don't really mature in faith? You know the answer? They are choked. See? Their hearts are just too crowded. See? There are just too many things going on in their hearts. And they think that these things are rather more important than Christ and His Word. And so, as they go on, they are choked and eventually they die. Why? Because of life's, take note, worries, riches, and pleasure. Three things Jesus warned. Life's worries, the cares, you know, this is translated as cares. Something, you know, it comes from the Greek word merimna that has something to do with divide. In other words, something that divides your focus, your attention. You know, it's causing you to worry. And then riches, plutos, it means abundance, prosperity, possessions, pleasures, hedone, where we get the word hedonism. See, what is hedonism? Pleasures. Oh, the world today offers so many pleasures. I tell you, the devil never stops inventing pleasure. Pleasures that would be appealing to the human heart and human eyes. And if the Christian is not careful, this will choke us. See? Life's worries. Remember why that rich young ruler wasn't saved? Remember there was one rich ruler who came to Christ. Lord, I want to have eternal life. What must I do? And God says, well, obey the commandments. I have obeyed them, Lord. And then Jesus says, because Jesus knew his heart, because that man belongs to this heart. Remember? Ingon si Jesus, okay. Because Jesus knew his heart, Jesus could see that in your heart, man, yes, you have the desire to go to heaven, but your heart is not meant for heaven. Why? There's just too many things going on in your heart. You have too many loves. I love this, I love that. Too many likes. All your Facebook, they're all like, and heart, heart, heart. Puro good. Ana, basa about words of God, gani, like pod. Oh, pero nagana yung mga advertisement, uy, nindot lagi ni na ibagong resort dahil sa Palawan. It's like. Diba? Like. See? What happens? Jesus says, give them up and you follow me. And the Bible says, the man was sad because he was so rich. That man belonged to this heart. See? Was the man saved? Absolutely not. Why? Because that man fell short of something. He could not make God his treasure. Remember, what should be the right way? You know, if you change the story of that man, what should be the right story of that man? The right story should be the one part of the parables that Jesus said in Matthew 13. He should be a man who finds this buried treasure in the field. You know what he did? He sold everything in his life, bought the field. And what is that treasure there? That's the gospel. You see? The right response should be this. Once you know Jesus Christ, you're willing to let go of all your treasures. Why? Because you find yourself that this treasure of Jesus Christ is worth it. That should be the heart of a Christian. Now, I'm not saying, Pastor, are you saying that if a person is rich and has money and has cars and houses, that they are not saved? No, that's not what the Bible is saying. What the Bible is saying is this. If when Jesus calls you to leave your property and follow Him, you don't need a week to think. Are you following? A real Christian, if you literally hear God saying to you, you have to leave your business because you have to do this. If you're a true believer, not even 1 second, you have to decide. You know what to decide. Because if you're a true believer, your true and real treasure is Jesus and the gospel. Not your business, not your house, not even your own family. See? But the problem with the world today is this. The world is a very powerful marketing tool. Selling everything. See? In Cebu, you know, oh, you should visit all these luxurious stores there, you know? Ning tanaw lang ko dito, ha? Tanaw ko wallet. Tagpila ni siya. Oh, 54,000 pastor. Mangin ako na masudan ang wallet. Can you imagine? Can I put 54,000 in this wallet? Okay? Yung kumanggawas ta, di ni mao nga lugar. Alright? Yes. And there's just so many wonderful things to buy. See, it's not wrong to buy if you can afford. But what is important here, you don't allow these things to choke your spiritual life. See? Because if you're a person who is always absent from a Bible study, absent from a Sunday worship, because of all this, the worries, the riches, and pleasures, then you're in danger. I'm not saying that you will lose your salvation, but you might fit this kind of a heart. Now, Paul warns us in 1 Timothy chapter 6, 9 to 10. Those who want to get rich, raise your hand if you want to get rich. Come on. Only me? Yes, we all want to get rich, right? If you want to go to heaven, well, the riches here on earth is nothing compared to the riches in heaven. Amen? But here's a danger. Those who want to get rich, those who raise your hand, listen to this, fall into what? See this? You fall into a temptation and a trap. So we have to be careful. See? Temptation and a trap into many what? Foolish, harmful desires that will what? Plunge people into ruins and destruction. You see that? That's the bait of the devil. Yes, he wants us to be rich, to be convenient, you know, to all have these pleasures. But there's a warning there. It plunges people to ruin and destruction. What about Christians? Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. See? It's a warning. Sige, ayaw na lang, Nay. Okay na takaroon. Okay na, Nay. See? You don't want to compromise your faith. See? If you think that your relationship with God is more important, then you cannot allow the temptation of riches and pleasure to jeopardize that faith. You cannot. If you truly love the Lord, you have to be warned. You don't want to wander from that faith of yours. Amen? You don't want to pierce yourself with so much grief. In other words, yes, it's part of the Christian life, you know, to experience trouble. But this kind of trouble, this is a self-made trouble, man-made trouble. And of course, lastly, let's go to the fourth, the cultivated heart. See? This should be the heart that we aim, the cultivated heart. Notice verse 14, but the seed on good soil stands for those with what? Noble and good heart. Now, Jesus here is playing with words. In the Greek, he is talking about two kinds of word that means good. The first one is kalos. It is attractively good, attractive from the outside. All right? When you say, these are good chandelier, good lighting, you know? I could use the Greek word kalos because that's what it is, you know, attractive from the outside. But then he says, that's the word noble. But then he says, these are the hearts who are noble and then good. The other one for good is the word agathos. And you know the word agathos? It means inherently good, intrinsically good. In other words, this is really good at its core. All right? So, this heart is good from the outside and also good from the inside. Now, why did Jesus call them good? Notice this. Because of these three things. Okay? So how do you cultivate that good heart? Okay? So here, I'd like us to go through the three passages from Matthew, Mark, and Luke so that we have a 360 view of what Jesus wants us to understand. First from Luke. What is a good heart? A good heart is one who hear the word. And by the way, hear there is a continuous. You continue to hear. You retain it. You see? You don't allow Satan to remove it, to take it away from you. And then you persevere. In other words, you endure so that it will produce. Hear, retain, persevere. According to Luke, that's what a good heart is. How about Matthew? According to the version of Matthew, a good heart is someone that hears the word, there's a reception of the word, and then, notice this, understands it. See? You don't just casually hear it and then forget it. No. You do something. That's why, brethren, listen. Make it a habit, after hearing the sermon, after hearing the word of God, you know, as you go home, you do something about the word. You don't allow Satan to take it away. You talk about it in your as you eat together in your table. You talk about it about your friends. Or, that's why this is what we do. We talk about the sermon during our Sunday school and B group. See? You don't just hear it and then do nothing. You know? You understand it. Now, what about Mark's version? Mark 4:20. Those who hear the word, they hear. Notice this, accept it, and then you bear fruit. In other words, the bearing fruit is that you apply it. You do something about it. You obey the word. You don't just listen, you obey. So, if we put them all together, brethren, James 1:21 summarizes what Jesus taught. The brother of Jesus said this, "Get rid of all the filth, the evil in your lives." Remember the crowded heart? What are some of the things that's crowding up the Word of God in your life? Remove it. Daghan na kay kag commitments. You're a member to all teams, committees, tanan, committees, appeal. So, inigabot sa Bible study, absent kang ano man, nag-meeting man dito, ani nga committee, wa. Please, simplify your life. Put more premium on the Word of God. Because I tell you, those meetings that you have, some of them, or most of them, listen, I don't care kung ma-offend mo, but this is very important. A lot of those meetings are simply building sand castles. They are not vital to your way to heaven. So choose meetings that are really, really building your temple in heaven. Because a lot of our meetings, yes, they are all important. But listen, compared to the meeting of God's kingdom, these are what? Sand castles. They have no points in God's kingdom. So get rid of that and then accept the word of God planted in your heart, for it has the power to what? Save your soul. And then verse 22 says, but don't just listen. You must do what it says. Amen? Now, to summarize all these things, write this down. A good heart is, number one, a good heart, therefore, is receptive of the word. Receptive of the word. That means when I go to church, I have to be at my best hearing capacity. I cannot afford to be drowsy, to be sleeping, to be yawning. No, because every word of God is important. Receptive. Number two, a good heart is responsive to the word. I don't just hear it. You know, I process it in my heart. As I'm listening to the sermon, I'm already thinking, so this is what I need to change in my life. I need to give up. In other words, be responsive to the word. Number three, a good heart is retentive of the word. You retain it. You don't forget it. In fact, it's a good practice, and if that's what I want, every sermon, there must be a verse that I should be remembering. At least right now, James 1:22, I will not only listen to the word, but I must do what it says. I don't care what version you use. It's important you retain. All right? So during the week, you recall. Don't be merely listeners and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. And then number four, a good heart is reproductive of the word. It reproduces the word. In other words, it bears. That's what Jesus says. The good heart hears, retains, and then produces fruit. Brethren, allow the word to produce a good life in you. Produce disciples of the word. Tell others. Amen? Don't just receive it. Produce it. Because if we do that, brethren, if we keep on doing these things, you know what will be the result? Rootedness. You will be rooted in Christ. It is my prayer, brethren, that we all be rooted in our relationship with Christ and so bear fruits of transformed life, fruitful, prosperous life, 2024. Let's pray. Thank you so much, Lord, for giving us your word. May these words, Lord, work in our lives. May these words change us so that when we go out from your house, we go out transformed, blessed, changed, willing to obey. Amen and amen.